So I'm answering the question, how does the life that is in Jesus get into your heart, into your soul, and give you the gift of eternal life? And of course, the answer is by believing on the blood. We are blood-washed saints. We are blood-washed worshipers. We believe in a gospel that in the miracle of the blood of Jesus that saves everyone that calls on the name of Jesus to wash away their sins.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. We're continuing on the message on Jesus, the life giver. We asked the question yesterday, how exactly does the life of the Lord Jesus get into the life of the Christian, the believer on the Lord Jesus? Because if there is this supernatural divine life in the Lord Jesus, how does that kind of life get into our earthly created bodies? Well, we learn that it is by the power of His Word. Just as the Lord spoke the world into creation, the Lord Jesus speaks the Word and we become new creations, new creatures in Christ Jesus. And of course, it's the power of regeneration. We who were dead in sins are then made alive unto God. And I hope that you will stay with us as we come to the pulpit ministry of our church today to let the Bible speak on Jesus, the life of the world. Let me read the verse again. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. What a wonderful thing to be a Christian, to have this light of the Lord Jesus shining into our hearts so that we are no longer walking in the darkness of this world. And I hope that you have a personal testimony. You have in your own heart this experience of the new birth, that you're no longer walking in deadness, in the sins of your Adamic nature, but you are born again, made anew by the power of the gospel. And I trust that even today, if you are not saved, that you will believe, come to this book of John, read the book, and these things are written that you might believe, and believing that you might have eternal life. And so may the Lord speak to your heart just now.
Paul said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in John 10, verse 11, something I preached on here just recently, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, and his life is poured out. Now, when the Lord Jesus took our place as our Savior, He died firstly as a sacrifice. The principle of a life for life. In the sacrificial system of worship, the guilty sinner was already condemned to die. The death sentence is upon the guilty one. And that's us. That's our state by nature. But in atonement, in the work of the cross, the Lord Jesus voluntarily died on that tree that He would pour out His life to give you life, that the death sentence may be removed from you as He took death and was buried under the sentence of death for a time. All of that was included in Jesus pouring out His life. And so you can see that He died as our sacrifice and as our substitute in our place, His life for our life. This demanded that his blood be shed. Now you just think of the wonder of all of this. When God decreed the plan of redemption, Jesus was pure spirit in the presence of his Father, enjoying the glory of heaven. And God found a way that he could redeem sinful men by Jesus taking a body like ours, flesh, our nature, and running through his body would be the blood of life. The body that was united to the divine nature of Jesus. He's now the God-man. His life is not just mere human, but he is the God-man. And he is infinite in power and value. So is his blood. And when Jesus poured out that blood, and I like the word poured, not the word spilt. I know some hymn writers have used that word, and there's nothing bad intended in it, but the word spilt just, it just gives the wrong idea in my mind. There was no accident in Jesus' death and atoning work. He deliberately gave himself unto death. And those nails into his hands and feet, that spear that went up from the Roman spear into his, under his heart, out of which flowed blood and water, was the deliberate blood shedding of the Lord Jesus in our place as our substitute. And he made atonement. Now, atonement is to reconcile. It is to take the stranger to God and remove every obstacle and to give life, peace, pardon, joy. And when Jesus made atonement, all of that took place. So he died as our sacrifice, our substitute, and our Savior. The blood of Jesus shelters us from the wrath of God. Savior Jesus, he saves his people from their sins. We sang that hymn earlier. Probably the greatest illustration we have of the blood of Jesus sheltering us from the wrath of God and freeing us from that destroying wrath is the Passover night when God said, put the blood of the Lamb upon the doorposts. And when the angel of death would visit Egypt, looking upon the blood upon that doorpost, God promised, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The homes without blood had the death mark upon them. The homes with the blood mark were spared to live. The firstborn did not die. Which do you have upon you today? The death mark of Adam's sin and your own guilt? Or do you have the blood mark of Jesus atoning work upon your heart? When the angel of wrath or death comes, will you have that blood mark upon you? Will you be spared in the judgment on that day? Now, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 7 and verse 14, I want you to see this principle of the blood emphasized over and over here. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 7. Into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood. Not without blood. That's the only basis on which we can worship God, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Then down in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Here is this focus upon the blood of Jesus. Now you'll notice the infinite part of this. It says, who through the eternal Spirit. I've always understood this as the third person of the Trinity. That when Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit was there to minister unto him. Some may take this that Jesus himself is eternal Spirit. It's not wrong. But however you interpret this statement, there was on the cross an eternal person in human flesh pouring out his blood so that the life that was in the second person of the Trinity at the throne of God is now brought down to earth. And the life that is in the blood is made available to all who believe on the blood and plead that blood for their salvation. So I'm answering the question, how does the life that is in Jesus get into your heart, into your soul, and give you the gift of eternal life? And of course, the answer is by believing on the blood. We are blood-washed saints. We are blood-washed worshipers. We believe in a gospel that in the miracle of the blood of Jesus that saves everyone that calls on the name of Jesus to wash away their sins. Now, I realize there's great mystery here, and there is profound things that are beyond our little minds. I want to quote to you a little excerpt from a Scottish preacher, Andrew Bonner. He says of Jesus dying on that cross, when the spear reached the heart of Jesus, the blood was poured out from the very seat of life. The heart and the pericardium were both pierced, and therefore the blood that then gushed forth with the liquid fluid of the pericardium, that's that little water sac around the heart of a person who has just expired, was blood from the warm seat of vitality. Now, what a wonderful way to put it. The blood pouring out of Jesus' body was blood from the warm seat of vitality, life-giving blood. And that's what brings eternal life into our hearts and into our lives. One further statement. And as such, for as the type, so the reality, Jesus did then pour forth his whole soul. Now, did you grasp that? I know it's beyond us, but it's true. As Jesus poured out that blood, he poured out his whole soul, his infinite life, the value, the vitality, the victory of that blood as a sacrifice, a substitute, a savior, so that the death mark would be removed and that blood mark would be upon you if we believe. Every believer rests and rejoices continually in the very blood of Jesus. Now I want to take you to John chapter 6 and verse 53, a passage that may seem something strange. John 6 verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, this is not communion. This is not the liquid that's in communion. We do not literally eat the blood of Jesus. We do not eat the literal body of Jesus. These are symbols. They remain bread, they remain juice, wine, whatever. They enable us to feast on the life-giving blood of Jesus. They help us to live the Christian life on the victory that Jesus purchased on the cross. And in this figurative language, the Lord says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. The death mark is upon you. You are still in your sins. You're still condemned. You are under God's wrath. But if you live looking, trusting, believing in the blood Jesus shed on the cross, you will have life in you. And you will have that blood mark of life. And he goes on to expand, whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Now, this is faith. This is the activity of faith that is demonstrated here. It's not literally eating blood. Jews were told never to eat blood. That was Old Testament. Acts 15, it was renewed again. They did not. They were to abstain from things strangled and from blood. Literal blood eating was forbidden. But here Jesus is speaking figuratively. He is saying, I want you to continually live trusting, resting in what the life that I poured out from my body, the infinite life that was in my God-man nature, that you may have eternal life. And that's what we're doing as believers, continually trusting. Verse 55, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. That's our union. That's our union with the Lord Jesus. And as we take the cup and the bread today, what are we doing by faith? We are feasting on the life-giving grace of our Savior. And we enjoy him living in us and us in him. Verse 57, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. You see this? I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. How do we live the Christian life? On the victory of the blood. On the power of the life that was poured out at the cross. By the transfer of that power from Jesus into our souls as we believe only on him. And by that means, we enjoy life. And verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. There, of course, is the very nature, the human nature of the Lord Jesus that was crucified on that cross. Now, Jesus is also our satisfier because of this life that he pours in. Go over to John 7 and verse 39. This 38, he that believeth in me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is the life of Jesus in us. This is this miraculous supernatural life that Jesus poured out on the cross. And by faith, as we trust in that blood, there is now the transfer of that life into our lives. He that believeth in me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There is the flowing in and the flowing out of the life of the Savior in your heart, in your life. What power it brings, what victory it brings within our souls, and what great blessing. How does it happen? Well, verse 39 explains it. "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Here is this life of Jesus by the Holy Spirit ministering, poured into us. And then, without turning our Bibles, think of John 15, where Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches." And you have that wonderful picture of all the life that comes through that trunk of the vine into each little tender tendril, the branch. And the same life that is in the vine flows into the branch. And then Jesus says, "Without me ye can do nothing. Abide in me." How do we live the Christian life? Where do we get grace to pray and grace to live in the Spirit? Where do we get power and victory over the world? It's by abiding in Jesus and Jesus' life abiding in us. This is what satisfies. And if you're living an empty, barren life, there is new life in Christ. And you plead the blood. You claim the blessing of the life that comes through the cross work and the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus. And last thought, Jesus is that tree for the healing of the nations. In Revelation 22, in the midst of the street of it on the other side of the river, was there the tree of life. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That's our Lord Jesus. He satisfies now and in eternity. As we take this communion today, I want these truths to fill your heart. I don't want you to be coming asking, "What am I doing? What's this about?" It is you believing and saying by faith, "Christ did this for me. His life was poured out that I might enjoy life in my soul. And these symbols help me in my believing. They strengthen my faith. They stir my heart in a visual way to come to terms with the reality of these things." Isn't it wonderful that spiritual things can be real? Don't ever think that spiritual things are just theory. They're real. And you can have the living Lord Jesus in all his victory dwelling in power within your soul. So do not settle for a dead religion. Do not settle for dead prayers out of dead hearts. But pray for this life like living water to flow out of your inner being. That's this life. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Oh, today let us commune with the Lord with this truth and this knowledge in our hearts. May the Lord continue to speak to you and bless you today.
I thought sure I'd go to heaven, had worked hard a place to win. Then I read where God pronounced me dead in trespasses and sin. Dead in sin can dead men labor? What good works can dead men do? Dead in sin, no hope of heaven. What may I? I cry to Jesus, sinner's hope and sinner's plea. All my sins he took upon him, but he gave new life to me. All my sins he took upon him, but he gave new life to me. Death for sin, a dreadful sentence, and the law will have its way. But the sinless one in mercy undertook the price to pay. Dead in sin, but Christ the Savior for this poor lost soul has died. And the hope of ransom sinner rests upon the crucified. In despair I cried to Jesus, sinner's hope and sinner's plea. All my sins he took upon him, but he gave new life to me.
Well, I really hated to come in there to break the message of that in song, and it was very beautifully put. Jesus is the life giver for every soul. Will you come, put your faith in him? Stay tuned for these announcements and be in touch.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.